the hospital right now. It might be might be life-threatening. We're concerned about that. Yes. Who? Gertie, yes. She does. She's going to have surgery. Yeah, and she's got a surgery coming up, too, the 27th. Yeah. Pray for Gertie. And had a good time. I spent some time with Grandpa Lemley yesterday. Had a great time with Grandpa. And matter of fact, I stayed there until about 3 o'clock with him in the afternoon. I had a good time with him. Haven't seen him for a while. And pray for Grandpa's. Would to God he could get his strength back in his legs. Amen. He just can't walk. And let's have a moment of prayer right now. Father, I pray today that you'd help us as we study your Bible to learn, to grow. Lord, I pray for Bobby's mama. Lord, please intervene, help her. Lord, be very close. May she sense your presence. And just, Lord, get her through this. Be with Judy as she's with her mama. Encourage her. And, Father, be with Gertie and help her, Father, with the problem today and with the upcoming surgery she's going to have. And then, Lord, also I pray for Grandpa Lemley. And, Lord, just I would to God you'd give us strength in his legs so he could walk one more time. Lord, help him. And be with Brother Carl. Lord, Keller, I know he's still not recovering well from that surgery. Be with him. Be with Steve Browning and Sue Vance, Lord, with their heart surgeries. And then now, Lord, see he's going to have another surgery for hernia. Lord, just be with all our people. Lord, help each one. Help our kids that are going through health problems. And just bless each one, I pray. Be close to each one. Put your healing hand on each one. Be with Robert as Billy prayed. Lord, be with Robert and bless Billy's church in Lima there. Give him a great day. And, Lord, be with Rod and Debbie as they're away preaching the Word of God. Lord, thank you for all our preachers. All over. Thank you for Brother Harold, our missionary, to Germany, and all the others that we have, 105 missionaries. Lord, bless each one of them today. Give us a great day in the Word of God. Help us to be a blessing to all that could come today. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, I want to speak to you on a thought. Making right decisions by thinking on these things. Making right decisions by thinking on these things. If you look at Philippians 4:8, I want to read just that one verse to you. Finally, brethren, what are, by the way, there's 8 of them. I didn't bring my chalkboard. I was going to put the chalkboard, but I'm not going to, we'll do without it. Finally, brethren, what sort of things are, what's the first word? True, circle that. What sort of things are? Honest, circle that. What sort of things are? Just, circle that. Pure. What sort of things are? Pure, circle that. What sort of things are? Lovely, circle that. What sort of things are? Good report, circle that. Good report, circle that. And if there be any virtue, circle that. And if there be any praise, circle that. Think on these things. There's 8, brother. And Brother Young, there's 8 things, Brother Billy, that God gives us there, Louise, 8 things that we're to think about. He says, I want you to think about things that are true. I want you to think of things that are about things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. I want you to think about virtue, and I want you to think about praise, and I want you to think about all these things. Let these things have part of your decision making. Before you make decisions, I think, and we live in a world today that we make rash decisions. We make too quick decisions. We act before we think. And I think we should really think on things before making decisions. Every decision we make affects our lives and those around us. Brother Freddie, the decision I make, not only does it affect my life, but the decisions I make, it affects you, all you folks too. It affects my kids, my grandchildren. It affects all my people. By the way, they say that every person has a circle of 200 people around them. So every decision you will make, you might be affecting at least maybe around 200 people. And how many do those people affect? Hello? How many are getting the picture already? Now, every decision we make affects our lives and those around us either for good or for bad. For things good or for evil. Listen, before we make snap decisions, we need to think on these things. A right decision today will help us make a right decision for tomorrow. Doesn't mean you're going to make it right, but by laying a foundation of right, it helps the next decision making. Can anyone say amen? Just as a wrong decision today might lead to another wrong decision tomorrow. Decisions you make in your life not only affect your present life, but they affect your tomorrow, which is your future. So things we do today, Brother Freddie, not only do they affect today, but they're affecting the future. By you coming to church today, by you coming to hear the Word of God, you made the right decision. And you might hear something today, and God's Holy Spirit might work in your heart today that might affect you not only today, but it might affect your decision-making for tomorrow. You made a right decision to come to hear God's Word. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so you made a right decision today by coming, especially if you're coming to Sunday school. Can anyone say amen? Now, think on these things. Think on these things. Every decision you make has a very important platform which you work from and you deal from on for the future decisions. Now watch. Let me give you an example of what I'm trying to show you. Today, if you make a decision to say no to drugs and no to alcohol, and by the way, they're all destroyers, then you don't have to worry about how you have to get money to buy it tomorrow. If you make a decision today, I'm not gonna take drugs and alcohol, that right decision helps you for the decision tomorrow because you don't have to worry about how to get money to buy the stuff the next day. Also, if you make the right decision today not to take drugs and alcohol, by the way, alcohol is a killer. Yeah, Tommy goes, God bless Tommy Saylor. This guy really loves God. He's a pure heart. He loves the Lord. He'll go preach. So I guarantee he goes over and preaches in nursing home. He preaches in the mission. That's what I wanted. The mission. A lot of those guys in the mission. Do you know how they got there? One drink, and then another drink led into another drink, and another drink, and that one bad decision. Oh, it's just one preacher, just one. No, one leads to another, and the next thing you know, you're in the gutter. You lose your job. You lose your family. You lose your home. You're out in the street. You lose your testimony. You lose your joy. You lose your reason for living. Over one drink. I'm not proud of it, but I probably was what you call an alcoholic. Praise God, over 30 years ago, I quit drinking. I haven't touched a drop in over 30 years other than drinking. One day I had some NyQuil when I was sick. I got plastered, didn't know what I was doing. I told Rosie, what's going on here? She said, there's 25% alcohol in NyQuil. Never bought NyQuil again. It's a Christian hangover, you know. No wonder you get knocked out. Man, I was floating through the tulips, man. And 25% alcohol, check the bottle on NyQuil. Check it out. That's why you feel so lightheaded. Hey, I don't feel bad at all anymore. But 30 years ago, I asked Christ to save me. You know, and the Lord, I didn't think I could ever walk away from alcohol. I made a statement. Man, how could anyone live without drinking every day? Used to keep a case of beer in my trunk of my car. I was afraid I'd run out of alcohol. That's sad, isn't it? Isn't what, wonder what God can do for you when you get saved? Amen? And Brother Carr, I really not quit drinking. I'm just drinking from a different fountain. Amen? By the way, I love green tea a whole lot better than I do Budweiser. Amen? It's a whole lot better for you, too. And grape juice, and Concord grapes, and things like that. Notice, not only do I not have to worry about getting the money to, and by the way, they become drug addicts, or they steal to try to buy more. And if it's drugs, and you don't take them, Brother Brian, then you don't have to worry about getting caught when you go to purchase the drugs, because you've already made the decision not to take them. So that means you're not going to be there buying them, so you're not going to be subject to being caught for either selling or buying. You know, isn't it amazing how just making right decisions at the right time can help our lives? Can anyone say amen? You don't have to worry. By the way, if you make that right decision too, you don't have to worry about becoming a drug addict because you never started on them. You don't have to worry about becoming an alcoholic because you quit doing it. Can anyone say amen? Now let me give you another thought here. If you are contemplating buying a car, a house, or furniture, or some kind of item, first of all, before you buy it, you should say, God, is this your will? God, is this your will? You know, God says He supplies all our need according to His riches. Amen? Our need, not our wants. He also says in Scripture in Psalms 37:4, if we'll delight in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. But when you delight in Him, your desire will be what He would desire. Hello? Now notice, first, does God want you to purchase that? Second of all, can you pay cash? It's so easy to charge, isn't it? How many believe it's easy to charge? Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The first thing I did when I came here 15 years ago, after we got on a foundation, I tried to get us out of debt. I know we're back in it again. We bought that 30 acres and that property. We only owe about $165,000 on it. It's worth four times what we owe on it. And my goal is to get that paid off, and I'd like to pay that off real soon. Amen? But notice, if you do borrow, do you have to borrow money? If you're going to buy, is God in it? How much cash can you put towards it? Do you have money that you could borrow that you could make sure you could pay back? If you borrow, can you make the promise agreement to the lender? We all sign those things. I promise, if you give me this money, I'll pay it back. We shouldn't be signing it if we can't do it. I know things happen in our lives where changes our situations, but at the time when you sign, you should be able, with a clear conscience, say, one, I know God's in this, and two, I know with the way I've got, I can pay it back. Now, things do change in our life. I understand that. But at the time, a lot of people sign things, and they know when they sign they can't pay back. That's not godly. Hello? Can I say something to you? Many marriages are destroyed because of financial difficulty. And I'm not just talking about lost people. I'm talking about saved people. Look up here. I'm giving you some truth right now. I'm trying to help you, young and old alike. You want to have a happy marriage? Try to stay debt-free. Now, let me qualify that. I don't think it's wrong to own properties. You have to live in a home. You're better off to buy a home than to rent. You're going to be paying rent anyways. Why not put something on something you'll own? I'm not talking about that kind of debt. Matter of fact, 90% of your millionaires accumulated their wealth through real estate. So I'm not talking about that kind of debt. That kind of debt is good debt. Get all you can and make you a millionaire. But make sure you got enough to pay for it. Amen? How many are with the preacher? The average person can't go out and pay cash for a house. No, you're going to have to make payments on that. But you're building equity there. When you buy something in most cases, houses appreciate. The moment you buy a car or take a piece of furniture out of the furniture store, the moment you take them off the curb there, they depreciate. That's why that furniture guy, that's why that car salesman, they want you to make that decision right there. You got to buy right now. If you don't, I can't give you this deal if you walk out the door. If that car salesman says that to you, or that furniture salesman says that to you, or whoever salesman it is, Kirby Sweeper, whatever it might be, you walk out the door. Too many people, our marriages are ruined because we're too financially strapped. It's quiet in here. We get the credit cards and we rate those credit cards way up. Hello? Carl, when I was a young boy, my dad, he was old school. My dad came off the farm down in the Hocking Hills, and my dad was old school, Brian. One day we were looking at, my dad loved to fish. And we went to a boat, like a car show, boat show, there in Toledo, in the sports arena, exhibit hall. And my dad saw this Crosby boat with this 45-horse Mercury. I'm going back in the 60s now, 1959. My dad saw a boat, Brother Billy, that he could buy a gator trailer, a fiberglass boat with a 45-horse Mercury on it, and it needed around $3,000. And my dad said, Rich, I'm going to work hard this year, and I'm coming back here, we're coming back next year, son, and I'm going to buy that boat. He worked hard all that year. He saved his money. And you know what, Brother Carl? I walked over there with my dad the next year. My dad was a guy, I don't even know if I ever had a checking account. Most of those guys who back then didn't have, now they're paid, now they're done by you paid by your computers. I don't, but people still do. I'm still in the dark age. I just now got a cell phone 2 years ago. I'm just finally catching up to the world. But anyway, he just took his money, took his wallet out, Carl, and he put down $3,100 bills. And he paid cash for that boat. You see, a lot of young couples today, we want something before we earn it. And a lot of us old folks, we want things before we earn it. Put some money down. Work for it first. Wait, let God do something for you. Hello? Am I making sense to anybody? See, and what happens too, now I'm going to really get you. You're not going to like this. Don't have it on my paper either. We're not going to get done because I'm only on the first paper. We got three papers and I'm running out of time. But when we start making all those bills, we stop tithing. By the way, this church gave over $10,000. The handful of people gave over 10, about 85% of the people are tithers in this church. This is the most giving church I ever saw in my life. Unreal. You support, this church, a handful of people, supports 105 missionaries. And by the way, they're not at $5 each. Some are 50, 150, 200. We support Harold, 75. I mean, there's thousands of dollars that come out of here. Thank God for a church that gives. But the average church, Carl, the average Christian, when they get strapped, they stop tithing. And see, the tithe, if you look at, don't look to, Leviticus 27:30 says, the tithe is holy and it's the Lord's. The moment I get my salary check from Bethel, my tithe and my giving, my missions, my gift to the school, I got for Bibles even today, all those boxes, I put it in there. Before I spend any of my check, Brother Carl, I take my tithe, I take the Lord's tithe, and I put it in there, and plus missions, everything else. I put that in first. And I live on whatever I have left, I live on. See, you will prosper more if you live on what God's 90% than you stealing his 10%. And by the way, the Bible says you got a curse on you. You that don't tithe, you got a curse on you. Fortunately, there aren't many people in this church don't tithe, so not many people got curses on them. But tithing is of God. I've always tithed. Joan City Two Tech. Joe is my deacon for years. And he's a deacon now at the Heritage Baptist Church, where they faithfully go. And Joey knows. Preacher always tithed, didn't I, Joey, at Lighthouse? I've always tried to be the biggest giver. Every year I try to be the biggest giver in this church. There's two men that beat me every year in this church. I'm always the third highest giver. Just once I want to hit one of those big jackpots from that clearinghouse and beat these two guys for one time. But I'm glad they're beating me because that means they're giving too. Amen? And by the way, I'm not giving to beat them. I'm giving because I want to give to the Lord. That's how you should give. Not to win a race, but to do it for under God. To do the work of God. See, the gospel is free, but it costs money. Me and little Eddie's going to sit down Tuesday with a lady making a big billboard about our 50th anniversary. Our big Jubilee Day we're having July 9th. It's going to cost us around $600 a month to advertise that. But I think it's going to, people will see it, and I think it'll generate people. I think it's a good investment for the work here. We just bought these cards. We made up 1,000 cards. Cost $172 to have that done. See, it costs money to do things, and preacher, and I've always liked to do things right. I never like to do things second. I want to do things right. Because I think God always does things right. Amen? And so, but try to pay off your credit cards. Don't put them. Your credit card, most of your interest, if you're lucky, is 16.9. Some of you are probably paying 24% or 22%. If you're going to borrow, take some money on your house. Put it in your home equity, which is usually around 4 or 5%. And, you know, we just need, look up here. I need to talk more about money, don't I? we need to manage our money better. We need to manage our money better for our families. Bobby, for our God, for our church. But I'm going to tell you, you want to know what happens to families, why a lot of families get divorces? Money. Because I'm telling you, when you can't pay bills and the bill collectors are calling, if you don't think that's pressure, trust me. Then the next thing you know, you're yelling, she's screaming, she's, you know, yeah, hold on, good, great. Man, you don't understand, I didn't get to my words yet. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I got five more minutes. What I'm saying is this. Look up here. Many of your marriages, many marriages, lost or saved people alike, they're destroyed because of finances. Because when you get burdened down, you get pressure. Man, it brings up sickness because you get sick inside. And man, when you're stressed out of different kids' school goals, how are you going to pay the gas bill? Hello? Am I reaching home to anybody? How am I going to get a pair of shoes for my... How am I going to put a pair of front tires on the car? They're bald. Hello? And so what we need to do is say, God, I want you to manage my money. And look at that verse 8. I'm going to just, boy, think on these things. I'm going to give you those 8 words right now. I had, believe it or not, Brian, we were supposed to cover 2 more pages, but we're not going to do that, are we? look at verse 8, Philippians 4. If you're going to buy something, what you're going to do, number one, I said there was 8 of them. Write these things down if you got a pen and paper. Put it on the back of your bulletin. I think there's a place in the back of your bulletin to write something, isn't there, in sermon notes? Write number true, number one. Is it true? Do you really need it? Number one, the word true. We're talking about Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true. Are you with me, class? Is it true? Do you really need it? Do you really need it? Or is it just something you want because the Joneses got one? Or the Smiths? 2, honest. Are you being honest in your approach? Can you really afford it? Hello? Number 3, just. Whatsoever things are just. Are you going about them in a just way? Are you really going about in a just way of getting it? Or are you trying to cut some kind of corner that you know it's not, that God would be pleased with? Number 4, whatsoever things are pure. Do you have a pure heart with God on this decision? It should bear witness in your heart that God's for it. If you don't have a pure heart on it, I wouldn't do it. Can anyone say amen? Lovely. Can God whatsoever things are lovely, can God's hand be seen in it? There will be a beauty when God's in it. You'll see a beauty when God's in it. Number 6, a good report. Does it have a good report? Does it make sense? Does it make sense doing it? Let me give you a thought. I'll use me as an illustration. I had a 2001 Dodge van. The front end kept breaking down. The air conditioner went out. I was fortunate enough to buy a warranty when I bought the car, and they covered it, but it kept persistent breaking down the front end. I was making a payment of $402 a month. I had 4 more years to pay on it. By the way, a vehicle's depreciation, you got to have them, but you lose more money buying cars than you do anything in your life. But you got to have them. A preacher has to have a car. I'm dependent on getting going places. You have to have them. At least I know in my case I have to have a car that I can depend on. I traded my car in with David for the Trailblazer. Even up, no money down. No, I did. I think that's bad. I think I put $1,500 down. I got this back in 2005. I bought that Trailblazer, which I think is the greatest car I've ever owned in my life, by the way. My payment on the Trailblazer is $410. And I got a 4-year lease. So all I did, I traded the 2001 for 2005, which is brand new at the time. And my payments are almost identical. How many are kind of saying that makes sense to me? That makes sense. I didn't go any deeper in debt. No deeper in debt. All I did was switch cars. I got a new one over an old one. So, yes, after 4 more years, I would have owned the Dodge. But at the time, at 2001, it was 2000. It would have been like I didn't when I got rid of it, Bobby. I didn't want to own a debt. I mean, what would have been worth 4 years from then? So I bought a car that's under warranty
for the same amount of money. That worked in my case. Might not work. But what I'm saying, it made sense to me. How many are with me? That made sense. What didn't make sense was me buying that truck. Are you with me? Stay with me. A good report. Look at virtue. I know the bell ring. I'm going to finish this. Virtue. Does this decision merit meaning and have meaning behind it? Is there virtue in this decision you're making? And number eight, is there any praise? Can you give God praise for this act? Will Jesus get glory from what you're doing? And real quickly, write these four things down. We have four helpers in making the right decision. Man, I wish I had more time. We have the Savior to help us make the right decisions. We have the Spirit of God that dwells within us to make us right decisions. We have the Holy Scriptures that if you never go against the Scriptures, it'll help you make the right decision. Hold on. Men, hold on. And we have the Savior. We have the Scriptures. We have the Spirit of God. And we have our spouse. Can act like the Holy Spirit and say, man, I think we better think about this first. If I listened to Rosie a lot of times, I wouldn't have made a lot of big mistakes. The Bible says in Genesis 2:18, it was not good that man be alone. I will give him a helpmeet. Man, your wife is not the devil. She's sent from God to help you. Now, I'm not saying, and I know the bell rang, but I'm going to get this out. I'm not saying you got to be like this. If you do that, I'll kick you in the rear. By the way, and no woman wants a man like that. But I'm saying this. Let him that have an ear, let him that hath an ear, let him hear. And sometimes, Brother Billy, God will speak to Louise. And she'll say, Billy, let's think about this. And maybe God will speak to us through our wives. Because we haven't listened to Him. We haven't listened to the Spirit. And we haven't read the Scriptures. Hello? Isn't this good stuff? Lastly, I was going to give you two illustrations about decision making. We need to make, listen, before you make big decisions, the Bible says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know God. Don't make big decisions till you can be. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh unto you. Those decisions that we make can affect our lives and our Christian walk and our church and our family. I'm going to give these two illustrations and I'll just say it to you. You can't turn to them. Just for you to take home and look up. Remember when back in Genesis chapter around 16 when Sarah told Abraham they waited 10 years. Remember God promised them a child. He did give Isaac after 25 years. After they waited. She said, take my handmaid Hagar, the Egyptian, after 10 years of waiting. They got tired of waiting on God. Don't try to get hold of God. God's got a plan. He knows what's best for our lives. He took Hagar. He had the baby called Ishmael. And that's where your Arabic tribe stemmed from. Ishmael. Ishmael, just like Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had the 12 tribes. Ishmael, there came 12 tribes, 12 princes out of Ishmael too. It's where you get all your Arabic people. Hello? That one bad decision has still plagued the people of Israel to this day. Because they're still fighting over that land over there. That God gave them. God gave it to the Jewish people. By the way, I got time. If you say that, he was 86 years old. You'll see at the end of that chapter, he was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. The next chapter, 17:1, it says, when he was 99 years old, God spoke to Abraham again. 86 to 99, there was 13 years, I believe, that God didn't speak to Abraham. lost fellowship for 13 years. He's gone. Not sonship. Fellowship. One bad decision. How it affects you. Are you with me, class? I'll quit.
Turn your cell phones off. I get the message. And Lot made a bad decision when he went to Sodom. Said that, and Peter said that righteous man was afflicted. His righteous soul was vexed daily. And by the way, what did Lot lose? He lost his walk with God, his testimony. He lost his children, his grandchildren. He lost his wife. He lost all. He did it because he wanted to make more money. He lost all his money. And then he got drunk, and the girls, they thought they were the only people left in the world. And even though God got him out of Sodom, he didn't get Sodom out of him, out of them. And he had two children by his own girls, and they became the Ammonites and the Moabites, and they're the ones that were fighting. They were the ones that were fighting, looking, reading the chapters. They're the ones that fought against them over the land. Bad decisions come back to bite us. And so before you make those decisions, whatsoever things are honest, but true, good report, think on these things. How many think we ought to think on these things? That's what I want to get across to you. Think on these things. Father, thank you for the time we've had. Pray that you'll bless our upcoming message now. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen. We'll break for 5 minutes, and we'll come back and have preaching time.